This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure.
Sunday, July 14th, churches around the world are celebrating Sea Sunday, a day to remember seafarers and pray for them, their families, and those who've made it their apostleship to support them. On everyone's mind, of course, as we celebrate this year's events, will undoubtedly be Pope Francis's recent visit to the Italian island of Lampedusa. That was a trip in solidarity with the tens of thousands of migrants who've braved the sea in search of a better life in another country. Many never make it ashore. Well, John Green is joining me on the line. He's Director of Development for the Apostleship of the Sea in the UK. Hi, John. What impressed you most about the Pope's visit, and how will you be getting his message out to the parishes this weekend?
There were two really important aspects of the Pope's visit, I think. One is that migrants, not only those travelling from North Africa to Lampedusa, but across the world, generally fall between different jurisdictions and areas of responsibility to different people. And it's very difficult for agencies to help them or people to take responsibility because as they're on the move, they can fall between different people's areas of responsibility. And secondly, this phrase that the Pope used, a globalization of indifference, that to some extent we've become so used to seeing great tragedies on our screens and hearing them on our airwaves that we can think, as the Pope said, poor fellow, and move on. And within that context, particularly in the maritime world, he highlights also the responsibility of those who work behind the scenes and who, as you said, anonymously make socioeconomic decisions. So all those people who work in the background in shipping companies and in the fishing industry, and to some extent, that's all of us, really, that we all depend on seafarers for much of the trade that comes to us. We depend on certainly on fishermen for the fish that we eat. And to some extent, we're all involved in this, and our responsibility, as the Holy Father has done, to cry out, really, when we see instances of injustice in these situations, say, hold on, these people, they deserve much better for their dignity.
Let me just pick up on a couple of points you were making there. You say that migrants traverse different national jurisdictions and areas of responsibility when they cross the sea, making it difficult for any one nation or entity to actually help them. But do you have any answers to this problem?
The shipping industry really is a good example of the difficulties that people on the move can face. So that a ship itself may be flagged in one country, it may have the crewing agency maybe in another country, and then the crew themselves may be from 3, 4, 5 different nations, which works. But then if there's an instance of non-payment of wages or a fatality on board, it can be quite difficult to unpick that. What's really going to help, I think, both the maritime sector and the fishing industries has been two new conventions that have been about 10, 15 years in the making, both promoted by the UN's International Labour Organization, the ILO, the Maritime Labour Convention, which has been ratified by sufficient states and should come into international law early next year, we hope. And also of great significance is the Fishing Convention. Now, insufficient countries are coming forward to ratify this. So it looks like that this may not be put into international law, and a lot of fishing communities who live in desperate conditions may actually not benefit from the great work that's been done at the ILO.
So how many countries do you need to sign up to that in order for it to become active?
For the Fishing Convention, it's probably about 30 of the main fishing nations, so those with a big coastal fleet.
You've mentioned some of the difficulties of the people at the sea. Where are some of your other concerns at the moment?
I would say that the news, if you look in the newspapers any day, any of the big broadsheets, they'll highlight, for example, the territorial disputes in the East China Sea, that there's some islands that are disputed between China, Japan, the Philippines, a lot of territorial disputes. What you don't see so much in the media then is behind this is concerns over fishing rights and other maritime share of the resources. And underneath all this, there's huge abuses there for crews on their instances of bonded labour, physical abuse, crew going on board, their passports taken away from them. So this is a real area of concern. And the fact that attention's not being paid to this, with already this convention there ready to be implemented to address these problems, I think it really highlights what the Holy Father said is a globalisation of indifference. These people are far from our sight, far from our immediate concerns, that they're just out of mind.
So you do see this globalization of indifference as sort of a generalized problem in the maritime industry?
I think so. And I think also it's not necessarily in faraway places. We had an instance in the northeast of England a couple of weeks ago. For a number of months, two Filipino seafarers, two Indonesian seafarers, had been working on a fishing vessel out of the northeast of England. The company hit financial difficulties, and these fishermen, they could only work on this particular vessel. So it meant their visa had expired at that situation. Unfortunately, the UK government's border agency, seeing their visa had expired, then put them into a detention centre and began the process for them, separating them from their luggage, of deporting them. And I think really this goes back to what the Pope was saying about those who work behind the scenes, those who anonymously make decisions, that they're quite far removed from those whose lives are actually impacted, that these were not your typical illegal immigrants. They were victims of their circumstances. And it's really trying to draw people in, not to be so indifferent to the detail of people's situations, that can actually make a dramatic change for better or for worse onto their day-to-day living.
I just wanted to ask you a question about piracy, because that continues to be a serious problem in parts of the world, particularly in the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean. Later this month, we see that a U.S. court is due to sentence a number of Somali pirates found responsible for killing four Americans after hijacking their yacht in 2011. How often are pirates actually apprehended and tried for their crimes? And how big is this problem of piracy today?
I think the main issue on the apprehension and trial of pirates that's not necessarily readily appreciated is that given the age profile of Somalia, half of the population is under the age of 16. So if you catch a group of pirates, probably half of those will be the under age of 16. So in apprehending them, arresting them, and then subsequently trying them, you also bring in a whole raft of international law that is there to protect minors. For example, you can't send them back to Somalia. Your process of trial is quite different. So it does make things much more complicated, and the security forces need to be much more informed about it. Really takes us back to the problem of Somalia. Again, quite rightly, as the Holy Father describes, a globalization of indifference. This problem is much bigger than just the trial of selected pirates. It really needs to address that country. I would say in terms of piracy, the shipping industry is cautiously saying there's some good news this year, that the security forces really have worked very well, and the number of pirate attacks dramatically so far this year are down. There still remain seafarers held hostage. There still remain ships that are detained by pirates for ransom. But the area of focus of large amounts of piracy now seems to have moved to West Africa, which has a different type of piracy there, but also the number of attacks there seem to be increasing during 2013.
Well, thank you so much for bringing these concerns to light in view of Sea Sunday on July 14th. How will you be getting your message out to the parishes?
Well, in many countries across the world, here in Great Britain, I heard also from our colleagues in Taiwan, we'll be contacting the local parishes. First of all, an appeal to them to pray for the people of the sea, to remember them, that much of what they do directly affects our lives. They bring much of our food to us, our clothing, much of the things we need each day. And they're separated from their families, they're separated from their communities. On Sea Sunday, many of those at sea will not be able to get off the ship they're on and go to church that day. So to remember them in prayer, but also to remember the port chaplains and the ship visitors of the Apostleship of the Sea. Many of them, day in, day out, they visit ships, care for seafarers on their own. And for them, it's a great source of consolation and comfort, knowing that there are many, many people in the church supporting them with their prayers. And additionally to that, many churches will hold a collection to support the work of the Apostleship of the Sea. Pretty much all the work of the Apostleship of the Sea is supported by voluntary donations and support from many individuals within the Catholic Church. It's a great good news story of the generosity of many individuals who make such a difference to many people whose lives are off the radar and on the margins.
Okay, thank you very much, John Green, Director of Development for the Apostleship of the Sea in the UK. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.